KJAN Sports.
Time for Check of Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. The corn-themed trophy for the annual Iowa-Iowa State football game is, of course, history, but fans will still see and hear more farming advertising than ever before under agreements between two agricultural groups and the two schools. The Iowa Corn Growers Association will run ads during all 12 radio broadcasts of Iowa games this fall, and it's sponsoring Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz's weekly television show. It will advertise in game day programs and get similar publicity through Iowa State. The Iowa Farm Bureau has signed a 5-year agreement with Iowa and plans to sell Iowa-grown food products at Iowa State games this fall. Some fans are questioning the agreements after the Corn Growers Group helped design the trophy that was scrapped on Tuesday after critics said it didn't have enough to do with football. In NFL news, there may be no more important piece to the Kansas City Chiefs puzzle this season than quarterback Matt Cassel. After paying his dues at USC and with the New England Patriots, Cassel was given a chance to shine when he was traded to the Chiefs. His first season was one of progress, but his tremendous growth last year was a big reason the Chiefs went 10-6 and won the AFC West. Coach Todd Haley understands that the team's fortunes again rest on Cassel's right arm. Haley said the biggest thing that Cassel needs to do is to understand his own players and the matchups that they create. And that's been kind of difficult this fall with wide receivers Jonathan Baldwin and Steve Breston missing time in camp because of injuries. The agent for Brandon Seiler says the Kansas City Chiefs linebacker tore his Achilles tendon during practice and he'll miss the entire season. David Cantor confirmed the injury in a text message to the Associated Press on Wednesday. He didn't know, though, which Achilles was hurt on Tuesday, but he said Seiler has already had surgery to repair it. Seiler was competing for the middle linebacker spot beside Derek Johnson after signing with the Chiefs as a free agent. He had looked good throughout fall camp after picking up 44 tackles, one sack, and one interception in 12 games with the San Diego Chargers last season. In other NFL news, the Indianapolis Colts are getting some quarterback insurance in case Peyton Manning's recovery from neck surgery lingers into the regular season. Colts owner Jim Irsay says the team has signed veteran quarterback Kerry Collins to a 1-year deal. The 38-year-old Collins retired in July after 16 seasons in the NFL. He had faced free agency after his contract with the Titans expired, though he said he still wanted to play. Manning is still recovering from neck surgery in May. In 195 career games, Collins had a 55.8 completion percentage and threw for 40,441 yards, 206 touchdowns, and 195 interceptions. Elsewhere in NFL news, the Dallas Cowboys have signed cornerback Orlando Scandrick to a 5-year contract extension. That deal is worth $27 million, an additional $2 million this season, and an average of $5 million per season for those added years. The Arizona Cardinals have signed quarterback Brody Croyle. They also waived injured QB Max Hall, and the Seattle Seahawks have released defensive lineman Kentwan Bolmer. In baseball now, the Boston Red Sox trounced the defending American League champion Texas Rangers 13-2 yesterday, and they took over sole possession of first place in the American League East in the process. Jacoby Ellsbury, Adrian Gonzalez, and Carl Crawford all went deep for the Red Sox, who now lead the Yankees by one game. Elsewhere in the American League, Coco Crisp homered twice and drove in 5 runs, going 4-for-4 with a 3-run shot in the 10th inning in the Oakland Athletics 6-4 win over the New York Yankees. Jared Weaver, the American League leader in earned run average, pitched 7 shutout innings in the LA Angels' 8-0 win over the Chicago White Sox last night as Weaver goes to 15-6 on the year. Brett Lowry had a tie-breaking home run in the 7th inning. Jose Bautista added his major league leading 37th homer, and the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 4-3. Willie Mopeña drove in 4 runs as Seattle beat the slumping Indians 9-2. Elliot Johnson had a game-ending fielder's choice in the 10th inning as the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Detroit Tigers 3-2. And Mark Reynolds homered to start a 5-run 5th inning as the Baltimore Orioles beat the Minnesota Twins 6-1. In the National League, Arizona doubled up the Washington Nationals 4-2 to stay in control of the National League West race. Daniel Hudson fell 1 out short of his first career shutout before Lance Nix and Johnny Gomes homered in the 9th for the Nats. San Francisco remained 2 games back of the Diamondbacks by beating San Diego 2-1. The New York Mets snapped a 5-game losing streak behind homers from Nick Evans and David Wright in a 7-4 win at Philadelphia. Troy Tulowitzki scored from 3rd on a wild pitch in the bottom of the 10th inning as the Colorado Rockies beat the Houston Astros 7-6. The red-hot Milwaukee Brewers lost for just the 5th time in their last 29 games Wednesday afternoon as they were stopped by the Pirates in Pittsburgh 2-0. Florida and Cincinnati split a twin bill as Omar Infante delivered a go-ahead single in the 8th inning, and Greg Dobbs drove in a pair of runs to help the Marlins beat the Reds 6-5 in the first game. Joey Votto hit his 24th homer as Cincinnati won the nightcap 3-2. Juan Rivera homered and knocked in three runs as the L.A. Dodgers scored an early knockout of the St. Louis Cardinals for the second straight day, completing their first road sweep of the season with a 9-4 victory. The Cardinals were outscored 24-7 in the Dodgers' first three-game sweep in St. Louis since 1993. The Cards have dropped seven of their last nine overall. Alfonso Soriano homered, Randy Wells pitched effectively into the seventh, and the Chicago Cubs beat the Atlanta Braves by a final of 3-2. Mike Flanagan, a former Cy Young Award winner and part of the Baltimore Orioles' 1983 World Series championship team, has died. He was just 59 years old. Authorities found a body outside Flanagan's home in Moncton, Maryland, Wednesday afternoon, and it was later determined to be the former left-handed pitcher. The Orioles confirmed Flanagan's death Wednesday night. Flanagan won the Cy Young Award with the Orioles in 1979 when he went 23-9 with a .308 earned run average and five shutouts. He also played for Baltimore's 1983 World Series championship team, going 12-4 despite missing nearly 3 months with ligament damage in his left knee. Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr. called Flanagan a good friend and teammate. He said he was an Oriole through and through and will be sorely missed by family, friends, and fans. Flanagan finished 167-143 with a 3.9 earned run average, including a 141-116 record with Baltimore. Flanagan is survived by his wife and three daughters. Lance Berkman would like to stay in St. Louis. No matter how the Cardinals finish this season, the Cards signed Berkman to a one-year, $8 million free agent contract last December, and he's having a big comeback year with 29 homers, 78 RBIs, and a .290 average. He's been healthy, too, appearing in 114 games and making routine plays in right field. Berkman said Wednesday he believes the Cardinals are not far away from being contenders, although they're fast running out of time this year. The Cards are 10-13 since they acquired Edwin Jackson and Rafael Furcal at the trade deadline, and they're now 10 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers, who are on a 24-5 tear. Elsewhere in baseball news, San Diego Padres closer Heath Bell has confirmed that the San Francisco Giants have claimed him off of waivers, although he is skeptical about whether he will actually end up with the defending World Series champions. Once Bell is claimed, San Diego has 48 hours to decide whether to trade the three-time All-Star, allow him to be claimed, or pull him back from waivers. There's also a theory that Giants general manager Brian Sabian might be trying to block National League West-leading Arizona under first-year general manager and former Padres GM Kevin Towers from landing Bell. Pittsburgh left fielder Ryan Ludwig has gone on the 15-day disabled list with muscle spasms in the middle of his back. Since joining the Pirates in a trade with San Diego on July 31st, Ludwig has hit .262 with one homer and seven RBIs in 21 games. New York Mets have placed starter Jonathan Neese on the DL. Neese, who is 11-11, has been bothered by a rib cage injury. And the Colorado Rockies have called up third baseman Kevin Kuzmanoff from AAA Colorado Springs. Commissioner Bud Selig said the prospect of holding the 2014 All-Star Game at Wrigley Field in Chicago in its centennial year is an appealing choice. Speaking during an impromptu press conference during Wednesday's game between the Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves, Selig said there are some hurdles to cross before the midseason classic can be awarded to the venerable ballpark, which opened in 1914. He said a lot of things to work out here, but it's appealing. The 2012 game will be in Kansas City, while the locations for 2013 and beyond have yet to be announced. Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts and his siblings have been active in seeking funding to renovate Wrigley Field and also have expressed interest in having the All-Star Game there as part of a season-long centennial celebration coming up in 2014. In Pacific Coast League baseball last night, it was the Iowa Cubs beating Oklahoma City by a final of 12-7. Omaha, in a seven-inning contest, was a 4-1 winner over New Orleans. In racing news, Danica Patrick has called a news conference for today, and she's expected to announce her 2012 move to NASCAR. The Associated Press reported earlier this month that Patrick was finalizing a deal to drive full-time for JR Motorsports in the second-tier nationwide series. She was also working on a limited schedule of Elite Sprint Cup Series races for Stuart Haas Racing. Patrick has driven 20 nationwide races for JR Motorsports over the last two seasons, and she has five more scheduled yet for this year. And the NCAA has announced that it's hit former Tennessee men's basketball coach Bruce Pearl with a three-year show cause penalty. What the ruling means is that before Pearl can be hired, a school must tell the NCAA why it wants him and to be prepared to face its own penalties for giving him a job. Former Pearl assistants Tony Jones, Jason Shea, and Steve Forbes faced the same sanctions, except they were only given one-year penalties. The NCAA punished Pearl for lying to investigators about improperly hosting recruits at his home and urging others to do the same. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.